Today is the deadline for countries to ratify a new treaty that aims to reduce smoking around the world. 100 countries, accounting for more than 70% of the world's population, have already ratified it. The United States has not. Public health advocates say the treaty could have a major impact, especially in poor countries. NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
The majority of people who die from smoking-related illnesses now live in wealthy countries, but that will change. 85% of the world's smokers are in developing countries in the former Soviet bloc. There are more smokers in China than there are people in the U.S. Catherine Molby of Corporate Accountability International says the consequences could be dire.
By 2030, the death toll is projected to rise to 10 million a year, with 70% of those deaths in developing countries.
Public health advocates say governments have been slow to respond. Ross Hammond is a consultant to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids.
If you think back to what the United States was like in the 70s as far as tobacco advertising, that's where a lot of countries are now. Very few bans on smoking in public places. Some countries you can still smoke in a hospital.
And he says half of healthcare professionals in some countries smoke. Now, many governments appear ready to take on this challenge. The Global Tobacco Treaty that's been ratified is known as the Framework Convention for Tobacco Control. It calls for a ban on tobacco advertising and sponsorship and large graphic warning labels on the front and back of cigarette packs.
And they are encouraged to include pictures that depict the consequences of smoking. They can be very serious, like a diseased lung. They can be semi-humorous.
Kenneth Warner, dean of the University of Michigan School of Public Health, says some countries have started putting on labels warning that smoking can cause impotence.
And that, in fact, has been found to be a rather powerful message.
Signatories also promised to restrict smoking in public places and increase cigarette taxes.
Suddenly, all of these, what were considered very radical ideas in a lot of countries, are now considered very, very mainstream.
Tobacco consultant Ross Hammond says it's true that countries won't face sanctions if they fail to live up to the treaty.
But I think what's really surprised the tobacco companies is that countries are taking this very seriously.
In part, they've been swayed by economics. Governments traditionally feared curtailing smoking would cost jobs and tax revenue. But Kenneth Warner, who represented the World Bank during the negotiations, argued that the money would simply be shifted to other forms of economic activity.
And most economic activity doesn't have the adverse side effects of tobacco.
It's not clear how the treaty will affect global tobacco giants. Dawn Schneider is a spokeswoman for Philip Morris's parent company, Altria.
There are many factors that can affect cigarette industry volume. Therefore, Altria cannot speculate on how the treaty may impact the volume of sales at Philip Morris International and Philip Morris USA.
But Daryl Jason, vice president of the U.S.-based Tobacco Merchants Association, says if many countries raise cigarette taxes a lot, demand will fall and manufacturers will feel it. Tobacco companies lobbied against many provisions of the treaty. The Bush administration asked for an exemption on advertising rules that might restrict free speech. It signed the document 2 years ago, but never submitted it to the Senate for ratification. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.